Becky, why don't you go ahead and make your way on up to the front here. And Beverly, you be ready, all right? Are you ready? All right, good. Becky, make your way on up here to the front, if you will. And Matt, just so she won't feel lonely, why don't you stand with her up there, my brother? So she won't have to climb these steps. You know, a few, weeks ago or so, all of us had been following Becky May's situation, her health situation. And we've got this neat thing now that Beverly does. It's an email prayer request thing. And if you want to be on that, you can be on it, where she sends it out to you, all the requests that come into her from the church overall, and just kind of a neat thing. So we'd been following it on that and what was happening there. Becky's had cancer once before and then had that treated, and then it looked like it had come back. And so all of us were very concerned about it. And she'd been in the hospital, had some things done, and they'd found this mass there. And, well, I won't steal all the thunder about it, but it looked kind of grim. And she ended up going out to MD Anderson Cancer Center out in Houston. Well, she and Larry loaded up Monday morning, a couple of weeks ago, I guess, or a week and a half ago. And they were headed out there, and we were just very concerned about it. But anyway, just wanted Becky to come share just a little bit of what happened out there, what they found out, and just kind of the blessing of the answers to your prayers. So, Becky, why don't you come do that, please, ma'am?
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Yes, amen.
So glad I'm a part. I almost feel like asking you, do you feel like you've been to Texas? Because I feel in my heart I took your prayers with me, and that was like taking you. And I appreciate every prayer that was prayed on my behalf. I feel unworthy that any of you would take time to call my name in prayer. But I'm so thankful that you did. God heard. What I would like to share with you happened the first day we were at MD Anderson. We met with the doctor at 7 a.m. in the morning, and they took Larry and myself back to a small room, and the doctor's assistant came in. She's some type of physician. I'm not sure exactly what she was actually called. They did tell me, but I was a little stressed at that point. And so she asked me, she wanted to know when the cancer started. And I told her, you know, I had kidney cancer. And she said, well, how did they find that? And I said, well, I went to my pulmonologist. And she said, wait a minute. You're telling me you had kidney cancer. Yes, ma'am. And you were at your, I said, well, I had an attack of my asthma. So I went to the doctor, and she sent me for a scan. She said, I'm not under, so I had to go back and tell her several times. She kept pressing me. And I said, they just scanned lower and scanned and found the kidney cancer. And that was a little hard for her to understand. So I looked at her and I said, it was just God. And she said, so the place that brought you here, she said, tell me about that. And I said, well, I began to hurt. And so I went to my kidney doctor and had it checked. She said, how much are you hurting now? And I said, none. And she said, no pain. And I said, no. She said, well, how much have you had since you went and had it checked? And I said, not any. And then God began to talk to Becky. I was talking to her, but God began to show me the big picture. And how his loving hand had been there with me all the time. How it was the original cancer was found. And then this spot was found. And so she said, well, I'll go in. And she said, she gathered the information. And twice I had to tell her that I felt like it was just God that had done this. And so she went back and consulted with the doctor. She was gone probably 20 minutes or more, and Larry and I sat in there, and in comes the doctor, and made a plan to try to find out what this latest thing was showing up on the scan. And at first he told me, he said, well, I know that we'll be taking this out from what I see, from what you brought from Georgia. And He said, and I told you to plan to be here 7 days. And then I went through the battery of tests. And then on a Wednesday afternoon, we met with him again. And he walked through the door. And he looked at Larry and me, and he smiled. And he said, I have good news. And, of course, the tears just flowed between Larry and myself. And he said, we cannot find cancer anywhere else in your body. And he said, I want to present your case to a group of physicians to find out the best way to handle the surgery that you're going to need. And when he left, Larry and I looked at each other and said, how many people have sat in these same chairs? And the doctor walked through the door, and he didn't say, I have good news. The doctor said, this is what I found, and we need to make a plan to address it. And God was so good, just so good. So Larry and I packed up and headed back to Georgia. And still facing surgery and not knowing a lot about what was going to happen. And then in a few days, it was on Tuesday, I think it was then on Thursday. No, it was Wednesday night because the doctor called while prayer meeting was going on and I was still at home thankfully to get the call. And he said, we're not going to do surgery. He said, we're just going to watch this. And what he called it turns out to be, from having asked questions, a benign, slow-growing tumor or growth in the body. But that's what he was calling it. So I would just like to say that for me and for Larry, for the last month, God has said yes again. And that does not make me feel anything but humble and thankful. And I was just thinking about our family here. Brother Bill came up and shared a book. Larry and I have a small family, so the church is our family. And you have just encamped around us and prayed and let us know that. Larry and I knew that all we had to do was make one call. And whatever we asked for, we believed that our family here would try to do that. And we want you to know we appreciate it.
Well, amen. You know, in a church like this, where people live all over the place, one of the problems is communication. How do you get the information out to everybody? Well, if there have been any advances made in recent years, it's been in the area of communication. And I don't know, a year or so back, we got to thinking about that, how we could replace our old calling prayer chain that had always had built-in problems with it. If somebody calls you and you're supposed to pass along information, it can be an inconvenient time for you. It can be you cannot be there and all kind of stuff. But we replaced that with electronic means, and Beverly is in charge of that. She runs that. That's just worked beautifully because you can open that email anytime you want to and find out what's going on. It's been tremendous, and God's given her quite a ministry with that, and she runs it very diligently. And so, Beverly, first of all, thank you for that. But you know what? I think it might be good for if you want to squall through this, Beverly, so come on, if you will, and I think it'd be a good thing. Beverly has had a trying year, but I tell you what, when you find out God is alive, it's when you're having a trying time, a difficult time. So share with us just a little bit, Beverly, what's going on.
I guess everybody knows that I just haven't had a good few months here. It's been hard losing my husband and missing him. He had been getting veterans benefits, monthly checks. And we knew when they okayed him to get that, and that if he were to pass away, that there were widow's benefits attached to that, so that I should get widow's benefits should he pass away. Well, after I had gotten the death certificate and taken that down and told him about his death and all, signed up for the widow's benefits, filled out, I mean, I didn't have to fill out a lot of papers. These people did it for me, but it took a good while. And they told me that how much I would get and all this, and they would be deposited in my bank account just like they had been for him, but it was going to take 4 to 6 months to get those started. And I thought, well, that's nice. And I thought, God, you know, I'm not going to have my Social Security check anymore. I mean, I'll have what he was getting, but that's it. That was all I was going to have. And so I had told a few of the people here at church about that and asked them to pray about it for me, because we had a little money put aside, but not much. And I still had bills to pay. So one of the people I had told was Eugenia, and she had a friend with her that night, and her friend, I believe, is a widow. Is that right? And I don't know if she'd gone through a similar thing or not, but Eugenia was telling her about it, and she said, well, why don't you tell her to get a hold of her congressman and see if he could help. And so Eugenia told me this, and I did that and didn't know if it was going to help. The people down at the VA said that's not going to make any difference. And I, well, maybe, maybe not. You know, I didn't figure it could hurt. So I did contact him and or his office, and they told me that they would contact them and see what they could do. And he died 12 weeks ago yesterday. Friday, when I went up on my bank account to see about check out something else, because I do most of my banking online, there was some money there. A month's worth of money from the VA was there. I mean, I was getting, my tide was getting real low. It was getting down low. And I wasn't out of anything. I didn't go hungry, obviously. I hadn't gone hungry. But I went shopping. I went to Walmart and I spent some money. And today, I went up online to check on something else. There's another check there today. So, my God is good. He is strong. He knows what I need. The people here, the friends I have here, I can't thank you enough. I'm like, Becky, I don't deserve your prayers, but I know they're there. I have people that have called me regularly. Miss Elizabeth has been so faithful to give me a call. Say, how are you doing? Linda Tate has called me, prayed with me on the telephone. I thank you for your caring. This is my church family, and I love y'all.
Amen. Amen.
Who was it that arranged for Eugenia's friend to be at church just on that particular Sunday? Who arranged that? When you read the Bible, second point, when you read the Bible, there is a particular group of people that God says, I am going to personally watch out for this group of people. Who is that group of people? Widows. Beverly is now officially a widow. And in God's mind, that is a great word. I don't believe you can starve, Beverly. I don't think that's the way it can work. Yeah. Well, we'll pass right on by that. All right, well, amen. All right, well, I promised I'd give anybody a shot who would like to tell about the goodness of God. The only requirement we have of our testimonies is the testimony needs to make God big. Actually, I said that wrong, didn't I? Show that God is big. All right? Rebecca.
Is that on?
Yeah.
Okay. As you all know, we are in ministry, and it's been wonderful to see how God's touched people's hearts to give. And it seems like it's always been the amount that we needed to have a set aside for something. And one of the things that was particularly bugging us was that somehow in our planning, we didn't plan for the return tickets to the Dominican Republic. And didn't have that money at all. We wanted to give the glory to God because last month there was somebody who specifically gave $1,100 that said, I know you have some big needs such as your return tickets or maybe a cello, which we were enabled by another large gift to get the cello already, so we didn't have that need anymore. And it said, but something we had been praying for was just right there, typed out by somebody anonymous. And we just like to give the glory to God because He does know what we need. And I can't remember ever telling anybody we didn't have the money for the trip. But yeah.
Amen. All right. Who told, do you think? If Rebecca didn't tell anybody, who told? Well, obviously the Lord told, and He told someone they had needs there, and that's just tremendous. That's my God, the one who knows all and tells everything that needs to be told. I love it. Well, yes, ma'am. The microphone's not so much so you can be heard, it's so the folks down in the nursery can hear you.
The Lord not only takes care of the widows, He takes care of single people, too.
Yeah.
Just a few days ago, let's go back. Over 30 years ago, this little girl wanted to come to church, her and her brothers and sisters. Well, we'd fill up our car, and that was the time when my mother was living, and someone would sit in her lap. Then one of the boys would sit in Dad's lap, and we'd come to church. Well, it hadn't been a week yet. I got a letter from this young lady. She's married and lives in the state of Florida. And she thanked me. She says, I remember the church and what the church has meant to me and what the people that took us under the wings and everything's pretty wow. Sad situation. Wow. And she had a check. Mm. And she said, use this any way that you want to use it. But I want the church and I want the work that you're doing be taken care of. So the church will be getting some, and then the work that I'm in will be getting some.
Wow.
So thank the Lord for this. I always received a Christmas card from her, but that's the first time I'd received and a note. But I'm anxious to get everything settle so I can tell you who it is.
Wow.
And she said I'd like to be in the memory of my parents.
Wow.
And that has thrilled me. And when I get discouraged, and I tell you young people, some of you getting ready to go in Christian work, some of you gonna getting ready to get married, some of you are finishing high school, you don't know what to do. But you just remember Give God. Give God your life. Mm. Present your bodies, as preacher said this morning. God will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Yeah.
And so it's been very interesting. But when you think that God has forgotten you, then here it comes.
Mm.
When you serve people, and I mean serve the Lord and serve, try to serve others, He always sends something along to say, I haven't forgotten you. And I thank the Lord for that.
Wow. You know, I think the reason a lot of people get away from God is they don't know God. They don't know who God is. And what we're seeing is some illustrations tonight of who God really is. Becky stood up and she gave us a living illustration of one of the ways that God wants to be known. He has several different names in Scripture. And one of them is, I am the Lord. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He cares about the health of your body. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And then he also says, my name is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, that's Hebrew. And it basically means, I am the God who's going to supply your needs. I am your resource, your supply. And we've seen that down through the years. I don't know how many hundreds of testimonies I've heard about God supplying need here. It's tremendous. People don't, if they knew God, they'd stay closer to Him. What He is, what He does. He's such a helper. Odd to call God a helper, isn't it? But He's such a helper. He does help. Just wanted to give you an opportunity. I've got a sermon, honest I do. Brother Jeff, stand up please, sir.
I just want to thank everybody for their prayers for me. With my recent illness, I didn't go through anything life-threatening, but it sure does feel like it when you're in pain. And, you know, one thing that really stuck out to Vanetta and me, we haven't been members here very long. You guys have welcomed us in like family, and, you know, the number of people who called to let us know that they were praying for us and the number of prayers that went up for me, I couldn't have made it through without it, and I appreciate it very much.
Wow. I love this. Jeff had been for probably 6 months. Was it 6 months you were kind of down with that, Jeff? Is that about right? He has an active job. He does tree work. He's a tree surgeon and some other outdoor type stuff. And so he had these horrible, huge kidney stones that were just debilitating. He would try to go to work and just hurt like crazy and bleed. Just like be so blunt as to give you that detail. And just a tough time. And this went on for 6 months while they were trying to get it worked out to where they could pay for the surgery. Now, isn't that something? Somebody actually wanting to pay for what they get, you know? And so, anyway, so they're waiting on this. And all this time, Jeff said, I need my health. I need to work. And so, odd, I called Brother Jeff's former pastor, Brother Lovely, and he was talking to him about it. He said, you know, Brother Jeff, he said, he's in this job where he's he makes money. He can make money pretty well, but it's got to be like when there's a storm. He makes money after a storm. And so I thought about it, Brother Jeff. We have had a storm. God is not just doing that. He's taking. You probably noticed that, hadn't you? Yeah, had a storm. Well, hey, God, Jehovah Jireh strikes again. Amen. That's just great. Yes, ma'am. Teresa, stand up, please.
I've shared this with some of the people, but a lot of you were at the wedding and didn't realize what happened 10 minutes before, about 10 minutes before the wedding started. I was standing out on the porch, you know, just looking. They were taking pictures, and all of a sudden, I got real lightheaded. And I thought, oh, it's just probably the heat and the excitement. And so I went to sit down, and I didn't feel like it was a sugar thing, and I wasn't nervous. But all of a sudden, I got real nausea, and I got real dizzy, and my left side of my head felt funny, and all of a sudden, I felt like my body was going down to the floor, and I couldn't control myself. And I saw Stephanie, and I motioned to her, and I said, you know, get me something to drink. And they came out, and they said, after it was over, they said my left eye was doing something really funny, and I was very dizzy.
And I just had to put my head between my knees, and I said, Lord, could you please take this away? You know, I'm not sure what's going on, but, you know, my son's fixing to get married. And it started going away, and I could still feel a little dizzy. And Charles, he walked me around the fellow that where we were eating right in time for that just to completely to go out and us have to line up and for us to walk down. And when I walked down, the dizziness was gone. My mom was there. It scared her to death. And she kept on to me until I went to the doctor, and they said it was vertigo. But I just want to praise the Lord that he took it away that moment that I was able to enjoy the wedding.
Wow. Wow.
Amen.
God's not only good, he's got good timing too, doesn't he? Wow. Wow.
Before I had a chance, the Lord changed the testimony when I was sitting here. I was thinking about something else, but this, he reminded me of something that takes precedence over it. I had here probably about a week ago, I felt impressed to pray for a book and not to pray for anything specifically. I've learned that if we just pray for God's will, then that's when we don't shortcut the real gift. And I read a book here several years ago by someone from the wilds, I believe, and they emphasized the Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And God knows my heart better than my brain does, you know, considerably more. And so when I prayed for this book, one came that was written in 1869. And it was by someone who was an 1869 amateur astronomer, but he was also a preacher. And this preacher wrote this book, and it's a beautiful book. I opened it very carefully when I read it. But I'm reading the book now, and it keeps me right along in Scripture. And it's such a blessing that I wanted to encourage people, when you pray for something, be sure to pray for God's will. Because if you get too specific, then you cut short the gift.